Hey, everybody. Welcome. This is Jackie from GirlWithNoName.com, and I'm here today with Robert Martin, the creator of the fitness system he calls Look Great Naked at Any Age. And he's going to talk to us today about how you can get your body bathing suit ready. I met Robert through Twitter, and I was really impressed at the level of fitness he's achieved, even in his 60s. And that in and of itself is totally admirable in my eyes. Then I wound up discovering that he got this ripped working out in his own special style without using any equipment. Robert spends a lot of time on the road, and he can do these kinds of workouts anywhere, including in a tiny hotel room. And you, as you guys know by now, I love getting a great workout at home with minimal equipment, so this style of working out is right up my alley. I know Robert is going to have lots of really valuable information for us today about how he does it and how you can do it too. So welcome, Robert.
Hey, how you doing, Jackie? And as a matter of fact, I'm in a hotel room right now, so we're right on with that.
Oh, right on. So you've been keeping up with your workouts and all that stuff, even though you're in a hotel room.
Absolutely, no problem. No gym, no equipment, no excuses.
Yeah. So, Robert, just to start off, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Okay, I did concert tours with big-name artists for a long time, and I've always been an athlete all my life as well. And while I was out there touring all over the world, I wanted to stay in kick shape. And you know, people ask me over the years, you know, how did you do this when most of the people you are worked with are either dead or not doing so well? And again, you know, I've been around a while. I'll be 62 next month, and you know, I wanted to really hold it together, so I worked out a system for myself that would enable me to do just that, using just me and my hotel room, because most of the time that's all I had. There was, if the hotel had a gym, it might be closed by the time we got there, or it might be ill-equipped or whatever. So I didn't want to depend on anything except, you know, my own body and whatever space I had.
Right on. Okay. Well, thanks for that. And you're going to tell us today about how people can get their bodies bathing suit ready, quote unquote.
Right.
So just to start off, why don't I just ask you the big important question? How do you get your body bathing suit ready?
Okay. Well, you can't. I mean, if you just kind of go at fitness or anything in life in a haphazard way, you're not going to get very good results. You have to be systematic. You have to have a systematic approach, and you know, if you have a good strong system with specifics that you can rely on, you're going to do much better. And that's exactly what I've created, and that's exactly what I use. And for me, that means that the system has to be complete, and it has to include all the necessary items. For me, the necessary elements, there are four of them. It's kind of like a three-legged stool. The three legs being strength training, cardio training, and nutrition, and the platform that sort of holds that all together and supports you is mindset and motivation. So you need all of that to be happening, and you need to have all three legs be equal and present and strong, or you know, it's going to be wobbly. And you've got to have a good, solid understanding of what each one of those consists of.
Right, okay. And I totally agree with that, and I'm glad you mentioned mindset and motivation, because I really want to hear more about that. I mean, how do you create a mindset that supports you and keeps you motivated?
Yeah, that's a tough thing. In fact, in my system, on the DVDs there, the videos which you've seen, the first 45 minutes is entirely about mindset and motivation before I even mention or show you any exercises at all. Because that's key. If you don't have that going, you are not going to stick with it. You're just not going to have any success at all. Any goal you want, not just physical excellence or whatever, you have to make sure first that your mind is ready to get you there and keep you there. You know, we've all been through the thing where somebody, you know, you start an exercise program and you're all enthusiastic about it, and a few weeks later, you're not doing it at all. You're sitting on the couch watching mindless TV, eating potato chips and, you know, whatever. That's because your mind, and more importantly, your self-image, was not ready to make the change that you thought you were committed to. And we're going to fix that right now. I'm going to give you some techniques that will take care of that. And again, these techniques I'm going to give you right now, they're great for any goal you want, not just fitness goals. So let's start out with something that, unless you've been living under a rock, pretty much everybody has heard of by now. a movie called The Secret and a concept that it talks about called the Law of Attraction. Now, to me, it's more like the Law of Distraction, because by itself, it's kind of useless. Basically, it says that whatever you think about and talk about and focus on most of the time is what you're going to bring into your life. Now, there is some validity to that. It's an important concept, because everything that, you know, humans create or achieve starts with a thought. That's true. And you're much better off focusing on what you do want and what you don't. But what The Secret and the Law of Attraction leave out, in my view, is that without action, you will go nowhere and accomplish nothing. I mean, there's a very good saying, thoughts determine what you want, actions determine what you get. In other words, sure, visualize and focus on success, but then get busy. You know, the Law of Attraction is basically wishful thinking unless you act. You got to be doing something or you'll get nowhere. So when you start something new, be it a fitness goal or whatever, the first question to ask is not how do I accomplish this. The first question to ask is why do I want to accomplish this? Because if your why is compelling enough, you can overcome any problems in the area of what or how. So the first thing you want to do is come up with some really compelling reasons. Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to get in shape or whatever your goal is? Maybe you're not happy with what you see when you stand naked in front of the mirror and you want to change that. Maybe you're tired of being tired and out of breath, you know, after just walking up a few steps, or maybe your doctor told you to shape up or you're going to have a heart attack. Maybe you got some great clothes that you can't wear anymore because you can't fit into them, or maybe you want to live long enough to dance at your grandchildren's wedding. Anyway, these whys have to be very personal to you. They have to be compelling and important to you. It can't be because, you know, somebody else told you you got to do this. That's not going to motivate you. It's about what you want. And, you know, before we go any further, let me just touch on something really quickly. There's a misunderstanding about and a negative connotation that people give to the word selfishness. What I'm talking about is rational self-interest here. Rational self-interest, you know, wanting to do things for yourself, it doesn't mean stepping on people or you know, abusing people. It just means taking care of yourself. It's essential to life, and in fact, it's the source of pretty much all human productivity and achievement anyway. I mean, you know, when you get on an airplane, they tell you, put on your own oxygen mask first and then help your child. Well, the reason for that is because you can't help anybody if you're dead. You got to take care of yourself. You got to improve yourself first. And that's not being selfish. That's being rational. So, you know, make yourself better, and then you'll be able to do things for other people.
That applies to everything in life. Like you said at the beginning, I mean, it's not just for fitness. It's for everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So now, people who are listening to this audio, what I would like you to do is, I'm assuming that this is going to be like, I don't know, maybe a podcast or some kind of thing where they can actually stop the audio. So what I'd like to do to make some of these things work really well is suggest that the folks that are listening do, in a minute, after I tell you what to do, stop the audio. And what you're going to do is you're going to write down a list of reasons that are really personal and compelling to you for why you want to get in the best shape of your life, and also focus on the benefits that you will enjoy by being in great shape. And you don't want to edit yourself. You just want to write down everything you can think of, you know, all the benefits that you will enjoy and the reasons why you want to do this, and make them personal, make them compelling. So stop the audio for a second, write that stuff down, and then come on back. Okay, everybody back with their reasons. Cool. Now, you know, hold on to that list for a minute, and we're going to do more with that. But first, let's take a look at the process of how things actually get done. And the way I like to explain that and deal with that is by using an acronym, which is very simple. It's just the word RAFT, R-A-F-T. And if you write down an R and then underneath of that an A, under that an F, and under that a T, that will leave you room to write out to the side of each one of those letters. And what those letters represent, R represents results, right? Results next to the R. Actions is the A. F stands for feelings, and T is thoughts. Now, So what we're doing actually is we're kind of starting with results. That's at the top of the list, and we're kind of going backwards. But it's not really backwards, because when you have a goal in mind, if you start with that, you know, that target, you have to have a target in mind, or you don't know where you're going. You have to see it and see it clearly in order to hit it. So it's not really starting from backwards. But when you contemplate doing something, for instance, let's deal with the RAF acronym here, starting with thoughts. When you contemplate doing something, that's a thought, obviously. Now, maybe you're not real enthusiastic about it at first, but, you know, when you start to think about some of the benefits you might get, and, you know, that will get you a little bit more excited, because now you've included feelings. You've added feelings to the thoughts, and that gives the thoughts a bit more power, and it helps you define and clarify your target a little bit more. So now your thoughts and feelings are sort of feeding each other and giving you a little bit of momentum, and you'll start to begin to think about what actions you can now take based on these thoughts and feelings. And once you begin to take actions, you will create a result. Hopefully it's a good result if you've taken the right actions. And if you're not satisfied with that result, you can just rethink your actions and make adjustments till you get the desired results. Now that's the process in a nutshell, but there's a lot more to it. In order to make it work consistently and dependably, you've got to add some things to it. Now, when you decide you want to accomplish something, you're probably going to have to deal with some obstacles, primarily mental obstacles, along the way. And the most common of those obstacles, mental obstacles that you'll deal with is fear. And it shows up in a lot of ways. There's fear of failure, oddly enough, fear of success, fear of embarrassment, fear of change, and fear can lead to procrastination and eventually, you know, making you give up altogether. So we need to overcome that. Now, most often we are told to set goals and use affirmations. Now, those are both real good ideas, but the way that we're taught to set goals and use affirmations is usually ineffective. So first, let me talk about real quickly some techniques. Do work. You want to put your goals in writing, and I suggest strongly that you write them by hand. Don't get on your computer and be tapping on the keys. When you write things out by hand, there's actually a correlation between what your brain is thinking while your hand is writing that really plants the ideas more effectively into your subconscious mind. And that's where we need to get to. We need to get into your subconscious mind because your conscious mind and just willpower is not going to do the job. Speaking of goals and writing goals down, you know, most people have probably heard about there was a Yale study that was done years ago, and it showed that only 3% of the graduating class, when they did this study, had written goals. 20 years later, they checked back in with the same graduating class, and that 3% that had the written goals was making more money than the other 97% combined. That's incredible.
Yeah, they're more connected to them, aren't they?
Yeah. The conclusion is obvious. Write down your goals. Now, when you write them down, there are certain ways that you have to do it. There are certain specifics that you need. Number one, specific. You've got to have your goal be specific and detailed. The more detailed, the better. Number two, it's got to be measurable. You need to define it in such a way that your progress can be evaluated. Number three, your goal has to be challenging so that you'll have to work at it and be disciplined. Number four, however, it has to be realistic, not so challenging that it's, you know, impossible or just beyond what you're capable even thinking about at the moment. And number five, it's got to have a completion date. You need to set a deadline. Otherwise, it's just kind of floating out there somewhere, and you need to anchor it to a point in time. So, for instance, let's say you're overweight and you want to lose weight. Let's say you weigh, like for a guy, you weigh 200 pounds and, you know, your ideal weight would be more like 170. So your goal is to weigh 170 pounds. Now already that's specific, it's measurable, and it's challenging yet realistic. So you've got a lot of those elements already. Set yourself a completion date and you're ready to write it out. Now notice I said your goal is to weigh 170 pounds, not to lose 30 pounds. Again, going back to the element of the law of attraction that is valid and is useful, you want to focus on what you want and put your energy there, not what you don't want. So
right.
How do you word this goal, and how do you go about working towards it? Now, in my view, the one area where so many goal setting and affirmation trainings and systems run into trouble is the idea of that they tell you to state your goal in the present tense as if you've already accomplished it. I don't agree with that, and I'll tell you exactly why. To me, that approach is not reliable, and in fact, it can actually work against you. For instance, the theory behind that would be, in this particular circumstance, to say to yourself at, you weigh 200 pounds, you want to weigh 170. So you say to yourself, I weigh 170 pounds. You keep affirming this to yourself, and somehow your subconscious is going to make this happen for you. But the reality is, when your mind hears this, it knows it's a lie, and you are creating what's called cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Your mind says, yeah, sure, pal, I saw the scale this morning, and you still weigh 200 pounds. So your subconscious is not going to buy it. It's not going to accept that affirmation. It's going to start to sabotage you in subtle ways. You're never going to reach the goal, and you might even put on a few pounds. And that's because subconsciously you still have the self-image of a 200-pound person. Self-image is what we've got to get at here. That's what we've got to reprogram. And reprogramming is a good analogy, because your self-image is like a thermostat. You know how a thermostat works. You set it, and it maintains the room temperature to within a few degrees of that setting. Your self-image is the same way. If you have the self-image of a 200-pound person, and you start to lose weight and you haven't really dealt with your self-image, you're going to put the weight back on because your self-image sees you as 200 pounds, and that's where you're going to stay. So how do you get around this? How do you get around this problem of cognitive dissonance and making this thing work for you instead of against you? Here's how I would suggest you word your goal and your affirmation, which are really the same thing when you word it correctly. You want to say out loud, I will weigh 170 pounds by whatever date, August 1st, 2010. And here's the second phrase, which is crucial. And I take action every day that moves me towards my goal. And emphatic, make a fist when you say will. I will weigh, And that, again, that second phrase, I take action every day that moves me towards my goal, that should be the finish of every goal you set, not just this one and not just for fitness. Put that in there. It's crucial. It's a key element to your success in reaching your goals, because it does a number of things. It accentuates your feeling of commitment, and it reminds you that after you've created a clear image of your goal, you must take action to achieve it. And it also makes whatever the task is seem much more manageable, because you're talking about, you're reminding yourself that small daily steps are what is going to keep you moving relentlessly towards your goal. Now, so that's a good start. Again, let me reiterate exactly what that wording was. I will, and again, be emphatic, I will weigh 170 pounds by August 1st, 2010, and I take action every day that moves me towards my goal. That's a well-worded and motivating goal.
Yeah,
now, it's a good start.
That's really great exercise to do. I mean, all you've just mentioned about reprogramming and putting your mind in the right mindset and all of that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it still boils down to it's not just words. You actually do have to take that action.
Absolutely.
Well. So since we're on that, why don't we move on to the action part of this whole equation, and that is one of the legs in the stool, and that's strength training. Why don't you tell us about your approach to strength training?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I could go on and give you, in fact, what I had hoped to have time to do is teach you how to add emotion to that goal, because that's crucial.
Okay, well, let's do that quickly, though. I don't want to be too long here.
Why
don't we go ahead and back up just 1 minute and let you finish. Sorry, I thought you were wrapping up that part. So go ahead and finish that, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, no, there's plenty more I could do, but let me just do something real quick about how to add emotion into this. Now, that list that we made a minute ago about, your hows and the benefits, the whys you want to do this and what the benefits are and all that, What we want to do is add some emotion to this, because without some feeling behind it, it's really not going to work. So what the next thing to do is make yourself a list of emotions that you will feel when you reach this goal. Imagine yourself, you know, in a movie theater, you're watching a movie, and the movie is you on the screen. You have achieved this goal, and you're just, you know, you're just rocking. You're happy. Your life is so much better. So make yourself a list of words that reflect that. Would you feel happy? Would you feel relieved? Would you feel excited? Would you feel proud, fulfilled, you know, whatever, motivated, successful? Make yourself a list like that, like we did before. Do this on your own. Stop the audio and do this on your own. And now you're going to attach those feelings to this goal. The idea of sort of being in a movie theater, relax, close your eyes, and imagine yourself to do this before you drop off to sleep, incidentally. It's a great time to do it, to sort of reprogram, because you'll be thinking about this, you'll be dreaming things about this all night if you do. You know, before you drop off to sleep, imagine you're watching the movie, you're up there, you have achieved your goal, you're feeling great. Now, as you're watching this movie of yourself, you want to think about, again, details. You're the star of the movie, but where will you be? What will you be doing? What will you see? Add senses to it. What will you hear, feel? What will you taste and smell? Who else will be there? Make it vivid, make it detailed. And now we're going to add the most important element of all. Those feelings that you listed, how will you feel emotionally when you've achieved this? In your mind, go through that list you just made. Call up as many words as possible to describe those powerful positive feelings that you will experience when you attain the goal, and go through that list for yourself, and then say it while you're in this like ecstatic state. You're seeing yourself, you've done this. Now say your goal to yourself again one more time before you go to sleep. I will weigh 170 pounds by August 1st, 2010, and I take action every day that moves me towards my goal. Now, what you've done, you've just given your subconscious a playground of positive images, and linked it with powerful feelings that to revel in all night long. So, you know, that's a great thing to do every night before you go to bed. There's a lot of other things again that we could do, but I know you want to move on to some more detailed specifics.
Yeah, so you go into way more detail and stuff in your program as well. So
absolutely.
I mean, that's all really valuable stuff. But people can
people
can get the big version of this by picking up your program, and I'll make sure you guys are linked up at the end of this, you guys. So just hang tight and let's learn more about, as I tried to say before, the another leg of that stool that you mentioned earlier, and that's strength training. So now I'd really love to hear your approach to strength training.
Okay. Now, again, as we mentioned, my whole system is no gym, no equipment, no excuses. I do these things in my hotel room, which means I'm not lifting weights, I'm not using machines, I'm just using my own body. Now, a lot of people think that your own body weight is not intense enough. Well, I'll tell you what, when you get into more difficult versions of kind of standard body weight exercises, it's very intense. One-legged squats, most people are not going to be able to do that right off the bat, but I teach you a progression that will enable you to learn how to do that, and that is intense. That is going to build some serious leg strength. Handstand push-ups, very few people are going to be able to do that right off the bat, but again, I'll teach you a progression to enable you to do that, and that is so good for your shoulders, your arms. So first of all, let's get around the idea that body weight exercise, you know, the misconception that it's not intense enough. It absolutely is. You know what I look like. You can build not just strength, but, you know, a body that looks great too. My emphasis, even though the program is called Look Great Naked at Any Age, my emphasis is really much more on functionality. When you build a body that functions as well as mine does and is as strong as mine does, it's going to look good automatically. You can't help it. it's going to just goes with the territory. So what I emphasize is intensity rather than volume. I'm not into doing like a bazillion push-ups or anything like that. I want to do versions of the exercises that are challenging for wherever you are in your particular level of fitness, whatever challenges you there until it becomes easy for you, and then you move on to a more challenging version, because intensity is a lot more important than volume. Intensity really builds strength. And it not, again, you know, I'm not into the big, bulky, mass, bodybuilder look at all. That look may be something that a lot of people strive for, but, I'm much more interested in functionality and, I don't want to come down on those guys. I mean, what they accomplish is phenomenal. Those guys are amazingly, motivated and driven and disciplined, and it's amazing what they're able to do. But is it really healthy? Is it really, you know, a result that you want that's going to sustain you through your throughout your life as a healthy lifestyle? I don't think it is. I think there are better ways to go. And the way I build strength doesn't just build mass like that. It also builds your tendons and connective tissue so that it will, match the strength of your muscles and enhance them and make your body much more functional and athletic and agile and flexible at the same time. You know, you put one of those guys out on the tennis court and they're going to have a tough time. I'm not into building that. So, again, the work that I do is I'm after intensity, and I also emphasize multi-muscle group movements, not isolation things. I don't ever do any isolation movements. I want my system to be really, really efficient. In fact, my strength workouts take only 19 minutes, and I hit everything, and I throw some stretches in between as well. But in that 19 minutes, because I am exercising muscles in groups, I'm getting a much more efficient workout, and I'm burning a lot more calories, I'm burning a lot more fat, and I'm building a body that functions in a way that it works in the real world. I mean, in the real world, it's going to be very infrequent that you're going to be mimicking a motion like a triceps kickback or something like that. It's going to be much more often that you'll deal with motions more like body weight exercises, like pushing with your upper body using your muscles in groups, using your triceps along with your shoulders, along with your back, you know. And so my exercises that I do emphasize that as well. We're talking about intensity and multi-joint, multi-muscle group stuff. Much more efficient.
Right, right. Okay, so how often do you actually strength train yourself?
I strength train 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I do cardio Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And Sunday, I just do some light stretching. I don't work out.
Okay, so I'm glad you mentioned cardio. Why don't you tell us about your approach to cardio?
Okay, similar to strength in that I want it to be very efficient, and I want to not waste a lot of time with it, and I want it to be intense. I am not going to come down on folks who really enjoy like jogging or things like that. You know, anything that you do, any kind of exercise that you do, I'm going to encourage you to do it. But in my research and in my personal experience, there are much more efficient ways to go. Again, if you love that, my sister, you know, I talked to her about it, and she says, yeah, but I love it. It's, you know, she runs marathons and things like that. People talk about it's like a meditation for them. Well, that's fine. Me, I want to get the work done and get on with my life. So, and I also want to get the maximum results that I can. And the research that I have read and, again, my own experience, there are more efficient ways to do it. The best way, in my view, is what's called high-intensity interval training, mm-hmm. which means you go at a very high intensity and for a brief period of time, and then you rest a little bit, and then you go high intensity and you rest a little bit. Now, let me emphasize right off the bat, for folks who are maybe a little older or out of shape, intensity is relative. If it is difficult for you to walk up a flight of steps right now, and that's intense for you, well, fine. That's okay. That's where you need to start from and build from there. Don't try to do, hill sprint training, which is my favorite, actually. I love hill sprints.
They're great
workout. Oh, it's a killer workout. And I'll go into many of the advantages of that in a minute. But, again, intensity is relative. In fact, there was a study done by the Mayo Clinic, a very highly regarded organization, of elderly people whose only exercise consisted of walking. And they discovered that by adding some higher intensity intervals of walking into their walking exercise, they got remarkable results in many, many areas of measurable improvement. So it's, again, the proof there is, and the point is, intensity is relative. Don't be intimidated. Don't worry that you're going to, you know, keel over and have a heart attack. Just start very realistically and honestly. Be honest with yourself. Be realistic as to where you are right now in your fitness level, and start from there and build gradually and carefully and sensibly from there. But remembering that when you do add some intensity, there are so many advantages. Let's go into that. When you, for instance, if you just jog for an hour, aside from the fact that you just spent an hour that you didn't necessarily have to spend in order to get some benefit, you never taxed your heart and lungs beyond a certain level. You got, you know, your heart rate up to a certain level, and you kept it there. When you do high-intensity intervals, you force your body, specifically your heart and lungs, to deal with a much wider range of heartbeats per minute and go up into that range and tax yourself and then, you know, back off from that and recover and then go up in there again and then back off and recover. So you're forcing your body to not only deal with a lot more range of beats per minute for your heart and breaths per minute for your lungs, but you are forcing it to do that repeatedly and learn how to recover, and you don't get that from jogging or, you know, what they call aerobic-type workouts where...
Steady state, you mean?
Step classes, steady state kind of stuff, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, let's not confuse the terms there. Sorry about that. That's one of the advantages, that you encourage your heart and lungs to learn to deal with a much wider range and learn to be exerted and exhausted and recover again and again. Now, there are some other really interesting things that have been discovered about high-intensity interval cardio, which was basically kind of put on the map back in 1996. A Japanese researcher named Izumi Tabata created what is now known as the Tabata Protocol. A strict Tabata workout is brutal. You will not look forward to it at all. It's really difficult. Just real briefly, it consists of 20 seconds of flat-out effort, which is as long as the human body can go at flat-out effort, by the way. When you look at Olympic running events, for instance, 100 meters is a full-out sprint, absolutely as fast as you can possibly go, and it only lasts like 10 seconds, less than 10 seconds. 200 meters is twice that, it lasts about 20 seconds or so, and that is a full-out sprint as well, but just barely. Anything longer than that, you have to pace yourself. So about 20 seconds is maximum. And the Tabata protocol requires that you go 20 seconds flat out and then rest for 10 seconds and then go 20 seconds flat out again, rest for 10 seconds. You can do that 8 times in 4 minutes. A Tabata workout only lasts for 4 minutes, but the results are phenomenal. And the reason that it is so difficult and that you will dread it is because 10 seconds is not nearly enough time to recover from 20 seconds of flat out effort. But it doesn't matter. You can take that concept and adjust it, and you don't have to do the precise 20-10 timing. You can just do, you know, high intensity. Although I don't like to go any more than 20 seconds because you can't go flat out for more than 20 seconds. And I like to be flat out when I'm doing my high intensity interval training workouts. So I do 20 seconds, but then I'll rest for more than 10, or you're getting into the strict Tabata thing, and it's brutal. It's hard.
Yeah.
You won't do it. You'll avoid it rather than looking forward to it. I look forward to hill sprints because I feel so good afterwards. Again, let's get into some of the advantages that that do not go along with steady state cardio. One of them is something called EPOC, E-P-O-C. I forget exactly what it is, exercise post-oxygen consumption or something like that. It's also known as the afterburn effect. What happens is your body goes into fat-burning mode from this kind of workout and stays there for 24 hours or more. So that You only get that advantage from high-intensity intervals. You don't get it from steady state. Another two more huge advantages, which are especially important for me, you know, again, I'll be 62 in June, and usually by this time in life, a man's human growth hormone, or anyone, you know, man or woman, your human growth hormone is way down, not even close to what it was when you were in your 20s. Same thing with testosterone, which also is very important for ladies, by the way. You need testosterone, too. Even though your natural hormone balance contains only one-tenth the amount of testosterone that's in a man, you need it, too. It's very important for you ladies out there that are listening in here as well. And I'm sure there are quite a few of them for, with your audience, Jackie, which is, which is great because...
I agree with Robert on that one. We don't be afraid of a little testosterone. Don't worry about bulking up. Don't worry about getting heavy. You won't bulk up. We need testosterone.
Absolutely. That's a really, really good point. And a lot of ladies make that mistake. They're afraid of doing strength exercises. Ladies, you will not bulk up. It's not possible unless you're juicing, unless you're doing, you know, pumping some weird chemicals into yourself. You will not bulk up. You will just become that beautiful goddess that you are inside. That goddess will come out. Yeah. So,
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so high-intensity intervals ramp up your own natural human growth hormone and your own natural testosterone. You do not get those benefits from steady-state cardio. And that's been shown in study after study. And again, for me, as a man who's going to be 62 next month, that's crucial. I mean, I'm dosing myself every day with human growth hormone, and I get it for free. So that's just a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I really do think that keeping fit and working out hard and eating right and that kind of thing really is the fountain of youth. I really do.
Absolutely.
I know so many people who... you know, take one person of a certain age and another person of a certain age, and one who works out hard and takes good care of themselves and the other one that doesn't, you can see the difference right there. One looks much more vital and young-looking than the other, and it's that way almost every single time. So, I'm a firm believer of it myself.
Absolutely. Yeah, my body is...
As someone who's over, for myself personally, for someone who's over 40, you know, I've been told that I look pretty good for my age as well, so I don't mind tooting the horn a little bit once in a while.
Your body is bathing suit ready too, absolutely, as
yeah.
is mine. And folks will see when Jackie, when you give them the link to my site, they'll see what I'm talking about. I mean, you would not believe
that there'll be a picture
yeah.
up against this in the
right.
same blog post as this interview, so people can see it now while, as they're listening.
Cool.
How you look, and believe me, it's extremely impressive, extremely impressive. But you know,
thank you.
You wouldn't be there without the proper taking care of yourself the way we're talking about now. So on the subject of eating right, why don't you tell us a little bit about your ideas on nutrition?
Okay, my ideas on nutrition are quite a bit different than most. I eat, for the last year, I have been eating a raw vegan diet. Now, that sounds like some kind of weird fringe, out there, approach, but, in fact, it's really not. When you take into account the history of the human race and what we are actually, we are primates. And, if you look at every other primate out there, they eat almost exclusively a plant-based diet. We are also the only beings on this planet that apply heat to food, which is detrimental. It damages the food. It changes things. It damages nutrients. We're the only creatures that drink the milk of another species, and that's kind of bizarre, and do it into adulthood. I mean, there's some very strange things we do around food. Agriculture, incidentally, has only been around for about 10,000 years, and, you know, the human species has been around, depending on what anthropologists you listen to, for, you know, a good million or so, or more, according to some. The things that we get from agriculture, the food products that we get from that are very, very recent in terms of our overall, the the way our DNA has come about to you know what we are today. And you know there are some really blatant misconceptions going on about nutrition. We have been, in my view, grossly misinformed about nutrition in general and human protein requirements in particular. And what is that? Well, follow the money. This misinformation, I believe, comes primarily from two influential groups. Those two groups are agribusiness, which are basically taking over farming and food production and all. I'm not going to get into, I'm not going to get up on a big soapbox here and go into conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff, but there are some strange things going on. And back to the two groups, agribusiness and bodybuilding supplement companies. Now, those two groups, incidentally, bodybuilding supplement companies are the owners and publishers of almost all of the fitness and bodybuilding magazines. So those magazines are not necessarily going to give you, absolutely factual stuff. They're essentially advertising outlets for those companies that create those supplements. So they're going to be putting articles in there that are telling you, you need these supplements in order to do this, and you need to work out this particular way, and when you're in this phase, you need this supplement, and when you're in this phase, you need that one, both of those groups want you to spend as much money as possible on the stuff they sell. And the stuff they sell, agribusiness wants you to buy as much meat as possible and dairy and poultry and grains and, the fitness magazines who are owned by the supplement companies want you to buy their muscle-building supplements. The fact is, all of those things, meat, dairy, poultry, grains, and all those supplements, it's well documented that there are health problems associated with all of those things. To get into the protein thing, to illustrate the point, humans, again, we are primates. We share a very high percentage of DNA coding with various apes and other primates. Apes get the vast majority of their nutrition from plant sources. They'll eat an occasional grub or insect or something like that, but it's almost entirely plant sources. Now, have you ever seen a healthy orangutan or chimp or a gorilla that was lacking in muscle mass? Of course not. They're incredibly strong, and they've got muscle mass like crazy. Some of the most powerful creatures on the planet eat very little protein, and they get it from plant sources. That's point one. Now, also, humans don't need protein as such. What we need is the amino acids that protein is made of. And all of those amino acids are readily available in a healthier, more easily assimilated form in plant food sources. In fact, when you eat protein from animal sources, your body has to go through the extra step of breaking it down into amino acids before it's even usable. We also now know that it's not necessary to consume all of those essential amino acids in the same meal or even in the same day. Now, that idea came out, 20, 30 years ago, and the originator of that idea, I'm not going to name names and cite books and all that stuff, but they have now admitted that is not true, that is incorrect. So the idea that plant protein is somehow incomplete or inferior, that's propaganda from the lobby groups. In fact, in my view, the exact opposite is true, because it's already in the form of amino acids and therefore directly usable by the body. Plant source protein is superior. Ask any gorilla. So getting into exactly what do I eat, what do other primates eat, and again, this is going to seem very strange and very bizarre to a lot of people, but there's a lot of science to back this up. The question: what massive amounts of mouth-watering treats do I gorge on?
Yes, we're dying to know.
Yeah, it is luscious, vitamin and antioxidant-rich whole fruit. That's what I eat all day long, and then I have mineral-rich leafy greens and vegetables and a little bit of additional protein and fat from a few nuts and seeds, avocados, nuts, things like that. Nothing cooked. Cooked food, in my view, is, well, it's dead food. And in fact, Studies show that when you put cooked food in your body, your white blood cell count goes up as if your body were dealing with some sort of, you know, toxic attack. you know, there is, of course, there's nourishment in cooked food. There is some left. It's not all entirely gone, but not nearly like the live food that that I eat, which is, you know, raw plant source food. Now I can hear you know, the protest and the howls out there now. There's too much sugar, there's not enough protein, that's not what the food pyramid says. I love cooked food, that's not what the muscle gurus say. Well, you know, all of that, my answer to that is to ask you two questions. First of all, if the food pyramid we've been following for the past 50 years is correct, why have we become the fattest nation on earth? I'm talking about America, and Canada's not far behind. The fattest nation on earth, with deadly health problems like diabetes and heart disease increasing at catastrophic rates. Second, do any of the muscle gurus still look like me at nearly age 62? I mean, I don't know if you've seen pictures of Arnold. Arnold Schwarzenegger is 11 months older than me, but he looks about 30 years older than me now. And
yeah,
you know, he's one of the old muscle gurus, and was doing the supplements and doing the whole bodybuilder routine, and he's not looking very good these days. So that's enough nutrition myth busting for now. And if you don't want to go that far, there are ways that you can still be healthy, but in my view, my raw vegan diet is the healthiest way to go. And I'll give you a book also that for me is essentially the Bible of nutrition. It's called The 80-10-10 Diet, and it's written by a guy named Dr. Douglas Graham. So if you just Google it, The 80-10-10 Diet, you'll be able to find it. And there's much, much more science than we have time to go into on why this is a good way to go. It just makes things so easy. I mean, for instance, my breakfast this morning was two big dinner plates stacked high with honeydew melon, nothing else. Now that seems, again, it seems weird, it seems fringe, but every other creature on the planet eats that way. They find a food source, they eat that one food source until it's either gone or they're full. They don't mix and match, combine a whole bunch of weird stuff. For instance, one of the worst things you can do is what everybody used to think was a healthy meal, meat and potatoes, you know, steak and potatoes. Terrible thing to do to yourself. First of all, you know, the animal fat and meat, you don't need that. Again, as I cited before, protein from plant sources, I think, is much better, much healthier, and much more readily available to the body. But the reason that you don't want to combine something like meat and potatoes, meat is protein, potatoes are starch. The enzyme that digests protein is different from the enzyme that digests starch. And if you put those two things together in your stomach, those two enzymes will actually negate each other. They stop each other from working properly. So now you've got this mass of stuff in there that's not being broken down properly. It's going to leave your stomach in a while anyway, even though it's not broken down properly, and go into your intestine and create havoc down there as well. And what I've described my breakfast as is what's called a mono meal. My digestion was breezy and easy, no problem. My taste buds were in heaven the entire time I was eating that. And, you know, my digestion is just, it's so easy. Let's put it this way. I'm a regular guy.
All right. Well, on that note, this has all been really interesting. And you've got, I know you've got so much more to share, and I know that there's tons more on your DVD as well. But it looks like we're running low on time here, so we're going to have to wrap up pretty soon.
Okay.
So I just thought I'd ask you if you had any final quick thoughts that you'd like to add.
Well, let's see. I guess the main point is you don't need to spend your life in the gym to be in great shape. In fact, you don't need to go to the gym at all. You can do this very effectively and very efficiently. The thing you need more than anything is information, proper, real, honest, factual information, and then, of course, apply it. Again, that's the the missing half of the law of attraction. You need the knowledge, and then you need to apply that knowledge. So get yourself the information that you need, and don't think that you have to spend your life doing this. Again, my strength workouts are 19 minutes, and I'm done. I do it first thing when I wake up in the morning. If you think you don't have time, you know, you're not going to find the time. It's not about finding the time. You need to make the time. So get up 20 minutes early, do the 19-minute workout, and you will feel great, and you will feel great physically, and you'll feel great about yourself psychologically as well, because you will have already taken care of yourself, and you have your whole day ahead of you, and it's done. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
Right, right. Okay, well, great. And like I mentioned a couple of times already, there's far, you just said get yourself the information. Well, a lot of the information can be found in your program as well. And I know that you can get that online. It can be a DVD or a streaming video as well, right? Is that right?
You can download the videos, instant digital download, or get the physical DVDs, either way.
Right, and the place to get that, you guys, is my usual short link, gwnn.me/LGN, as in look great naked. So, again, gwnn.me/LGN is the link to go to go check out Robert's stuff. And, you know, you can either choose the downloadable videos, or you can have a DVD. It's shipped out to you, and then you can play it on your own DVD player and watch it on your TV as well. So, I work out alongside Robert while he keeps himself as ripped as he is.
There you go.
So, again, Robert, I wanted to thank you very much for your time. This has all been really, really interesting and really valuable information. I know everybody's going to get a whole ton out of it. So I just wanted to say thanks once more.
You are welcome, and thank you for having me.
Awesome. Well, we'll talk again soon.
Cool.
All right. Take care.